The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
A contractor ever tell you the price of something and it sounds so high you think, maybe I'll try it myself. Some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture Spell to Rushing, and I'm on the road again. Seems like I used to do this a lot more than I do now, but I'm over in Texas. Java, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. As always, what's the weather like in Texas?
Well, it's a sunny and blue skies. Matter of fact, it's almost irritating. I drove over here yesterday afternoon, and the last 100 miles is directly into the sun.
No,
it's just great. Now, but I mean, I used to live in Texas, John. As a matter of fact, I worked at a garden center down in Corpus Christi. I'm going to say, when was 1974 and 75? Is that half a century ago?
It's a while ago.
Did work for a garden center and a landscaping company. But anyway, I'm over here doing some talks for master gardeners and some senior citizen groups and, you know, that kind of thing. But when I'm driving over here, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Mississippi, of course, everything's lush and green. All the oaks have finally leafed out and got a bunch of wildflowers. But I started seeing a lot of the roadside wildflowers, thinking Texas is going to be knocked out. And, you know, you almost tired of hearing about Texas because of the wildflowers. But it's been a big marketing thing. Anyway, in Mississippi, there's a lot of crimson clover and vetch and even some of the coreopsis, which is our official state wildflower. When I got in West Louisiana, I started seeing the Indian paintbrush, which really won't grow well for us. But as soon as I got into the middle part of Texas, close to Dallas, out of the big trees and tall grasses, the bluebonnet started to shine. And I mean, this is an astounding plant. If as far as you can see, just seas of bluebonnets. Unfortunately, they won't grow in Mississippi. They won't even grow in East Texas, Java, because the grasses are too tall, the soil is acidic, we get too much rainfall. So bluebonnets are pretty much a central and South Texas type of thing. So if you want to see them, this is the only place where you can do it well. So, bluebonnets. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was getting this. I'm sorry, Feld. I blanked. I was getting this, the call together. We got an early caller. That's all.
No. It's you know, when I'm on the road, I got my earphones on, got my phone, got my looking at my computer and all like that. And I'm thinking, have I lost my signal? You know, hello. Anyway, by the way, I also saw in Mississippi and Louisiana one of our coolest native wildflowers that people don't realize that, you know, wildflowers are more than roadside stuff. We have a bulb that grows naturally in low, wet ditches, the kind of ditches that are full of water this time of year. As soon as it stops raining, it just hard, dry, blue mud. I mean, this is the kind of plants will grow in the worst kind of conditions. And it's a native plant called white swamp spider lily. The Latin name is Hymenocallis, but it gets the flowers are about knee-high, a little bit taller. They're white. They got long, strappy petals. It's an astounding plant that grows super, super well in regular gardens, but it's native to Mississippi and Louisiana. You can see a lot of it in the Delta if you're driving up there, down in the ditches where they can't mow. It's just an astounding plant. It's hard to dig it right now because it's up to its neck in water. But it's just a terrific native plant. We also have another native plant called blue starflower. The Latin name is Amsonia. It's one of the top 10 perennials in English and European gardens. Terrific plant with sprays of blue flowers, brilliant yellow fall colors. But Amsonia and the swamp spider lily are in bloom right now in our ditches and we don't appreciate them because nobody sells them. You see them in every European garden you go to, though. Anyway, my little spiel about wildflowers. I'm just really excited about stuff that grows really well without a whole bunch of care. So I tell you what, let me stop yammering. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. Got some events coming up, but let's slide down to Mandeville, Louisiana, and talk with Peg. Hey, Peg, good morning.
Good morning, Felder. It's always good to hear your show. And I want to let you know I'm not the only one who thinks that, because I have a friend who told me this, and you should know, that she uses your show as therapy.
Horty therapy.
Yes, I think that you could charge extra for that.
And, well, good. Well, just give a shout-out to her.
I will. Colleen had another thing that she said that you told her she'll never forget, and I just didn't know if this was true. If you cut crocosmia like you do, cutting your ear hairs or your nose hairs, just cut them down.
Yeah.
You will never forget it.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, that's what I tell people. It's like plucking eyebrows, you know. They come up where you don't want them, just pluck them out. Leave the ones. Yeah, I had a lady tell me one time she thought certain kind of pruning was unnatural, and she had shaved her eyebrows off and painted them in a different part of her face, and she was talking about unnatural.
So, that's funny.
Anyway, I appreciate giving a shout-out to Colleen. What you got going on today?
Well, I just really wanted you to know that you were therapy, and also if that's what you do with crocosmia, because they certainly spread like wildfire wherever you put them, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, do yours bloom okay for you, or do they flop over?
No, they don't bloom that well. Just, you know, just get a few here and there, and they're in a sunny part of the garden, so I'm not sure what to do about them. But I haven't plucked them all.
Well, you can pull all you want, but you'll never get them all. Sort of like nut grass and stickers. So anyway,
they have they have several. When you pull them, there might be several bulbs all on the one stalk you pull up.
They have little runners with more bulbs on it. But anyway, it's a cool plant. It doesn't bloom as well in Mississippi as it does. It does really well in cooler, colder climates. It blooms better. And they actually have different cultivars, including some yellow ones, some golden ones, some that are just fiery red. There's one called Lucifer that's just astounding. But the one we have, the old common one, a lot of folks used to call it Montbretia. But anyway, Well, all right. Well, I appreciate it, Peg. Thanks for calling in today.
And thanks for the therapy.
You bet. Matter of fact, Java, I was just doing I'm getting ready to give a talk to some senior citizens. They got a terrific garden here. I'm at a place in Dallas. I have a real, real terrific garden. And they don't want to know about how-to stuff, a bunch of horticulture things. They've done all that. They just want to get the most out of the little gardens, enjoy things. And I'm talking about this thing called solastalgia, which we've talked about before, just about, it's a crazy world. Things are changing. Sometimes we can't control it, the weather, the politics, all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes just nurturing a plant, just taking care of a small plant, even children need this, something to give them a little thing to focus on that's outside them, that's outside the news, that they can watch slowly develop it. So it's just going to be relaxing and finding something that you can nurture. And a little small pot full of plants is all it takes to do that. And Java, you and I are going to be doing, we're going to kind of whoop it up next week in Clarksdale, aren't we?
Yeah, Clarksdale, Juke Joint Festival. We were out there last year. I know it as Miss Nails, but I know it's not the name of it now.
It's the Collective Seed and, well, I would say, Collective Garden Center, right downtown. I mean, it's a funky old building. It's one of those old schools, you know, for the late 1800s, hardware-looking things. They got some really, really nice plants. And we broadcast. I'm going to drive my truck up into their area and just sit on the back of it and talk about gardening.
Yeah, it was a great time last year, and then this year we're even, kicking things up a notch because we're going to bring Next Stop Mississippi, Jermaine Flood and Kamel King. They're going to broadcast live as well, so it's going to be a great time next Friday.
You know what? They're not from the Delta, but they ought to be because they whoop it up.
Oh, yeah, they have big fun out there in Clarksdale. They are like the dual citizenship with Jackson and in Clarksdale, Jermaine and Kamel.
You know, it's so funny. When I'm over in England and they find out from Mississippi, they always ask me if I've ever been to the Delta in Java. I flunked out of Mississippi Delta Junior College. Back before it was a community college. I flunked out of junior college in the Delta. And you don't do that if you're dumb because they'll work with you. I partied out of Moorhead.
That's a tall order, Felder.
you don't get any more depth than that. But, hey, listen to this. It's going to be interesting. We could do something a little bit different. This year, we're broadcasting live from the Collective Seed downtown Clarksdale on Friday morning. But Thursday afternoon, I'm going to be doing a lecture from the back of my pickup truck there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So anybody who can't make it down Friday morning, Thursday afternoon, starting at 3, I'm going to be propped up on the back of my truck, holding forth about container gardening, growing anything in anything, and just basically, you know, doing a lot of question and answer type stuff. But mostly we're going to be just talking about gardening from the back of my pickup truck. That's going to be at 3 o'clock next Thursday afternoon at the Collective Seed downtown Clarksdale. And I want to throw this out before we take a break, that we on Friday afternoon, after we get through broadcasting the program in Clarksdale, downtown Clarksdale, at the Juke Joint Festival, I'm driving over to Louisville to celebrate National Library Week, giving a talk at 3 o'clock at the Louisville Library. So Clarksdale Thursday afternoon at 3, Clarksdale Friday morning when we broadcast the program, Louisville Library 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon. I got some more stuff to talk about, but I got some lines, some folks lined up to talk. Okie dokie, folks, horticulturist Felder Rushing. And before we go to the call, let me mention this. In addition to being Clarksdale next Thursday afternoon at 3 and broadcasting from the Juke Joint Festival Friday morning and the Louisville Library at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, on April the 19th, I'm going to be giving a talk at the Beard and Horn Home and Garden Museum in Monroe, Louisiana. On April the 20th, we got a really funky thing lined up at a place called Beaver Creek Distillery. It's a distillery in Bassville, Mississippi. We have the thing called the Botanica Bonanza. I'm going to have my truck there. And then on April the 21st, on Sunday, I'm going to be in Natchez celebrating what they call Y'all Means All Natchez. So I got plenty of other stuff coming up, but for right now, let's get back to what we are supposed to be doing here, and that's talking about gardening. Let's go up to Clarksdale to talk with Homer. Good morning, Homer. How are you?
Hey, Felder. How you doing?
Fine. What's up?
Calling about Oprah. What is your take on planting okra? Do I need to wait?
Well, you know, you could probably plant okra right now, but, you know, you notice the cotton farmers haven't started planting yet because the soil is still warm. You know, okra is related to cotton, and if you plant it too early and it sprouts, it could get root rot if we have some cold rain, which we might still get. I think it's time to plant okra, but there's not any rush on it. You know, it will not stop all summer long. So, you know, you can get it started now, but, you know, if you want to wait a week or two, it'll be mow better.
I was thinking maybe, yeah, well, I always try to watch the weather, and we're getting ready to have some good rain next week, and I said, hey, it'd be good to put these seeds out. Maybe they'll germinate, but, okay, what about potatoes? I bought some potato spuds the other day.
You're talking about Irish potato-type things?
Yes, sir.
No, it's way too late for those. You know, they grow all summer, you know, in Idaho and England and places like that where it's cool, but they burn up pretty quick here. It takes about a little bit over 3 months, three and a half, sometimes 4 months to get good potatoes. This could be way, way too high for them. We usually plant potatoes in late February, first part of March. Mine are already knee-high right now. So, if you got them, I'd just eat them this year. Hey, let me give you two. How much okra do you plant anyway, Homer? You plant like 80-foot rows like my dad used to have?
Well, last year I planted two rows, and I really, it was my first year kind of doing it, and
that's a lot of okra. That's a lot of okra, Homer.
Well, I'm planting three rows this year. They're pretty long rows, but see, I sell it, so
okay, you know, okay.
The more the merrier. I eat okra, but you know, it's something it's not my first go to.
Yeah. Hey, well, let me give you this is a weird hint. You know, if you just plant okra, it'll come up eventually. If you soak those seeds are real hard, though. If you soak them overnight, they'll come up a little bit quicker, but they'll be more uniform. But here's a trick I learned. This sounds so crazy, but I tried it, and it works, and I do it every year now. Matter of fact, there's a book on okra, a whole book on okra, and they quoted me in this. You can take okra seed and put them in a jug with a little bit of Clorox, a little chlorine bleach, like just regular Clorox. You soak them for five minutes, and then rinse them real good, two or three or four times. And then if you just put them in a bag or something, within 2 days, they'll sprout, and you can just put them exactly where you want them. You don't have to. People have been growing okra for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But if you soak them in okra, in Clorox for 5 minutes, rinse them, in 2 days they'll be sprouted. And see, I only plant a few, and I want to make sure I know where they are, so I pre-sprout mine and stick them right where I want them.
Okay. Yeah, I saw a bunch of it last year. I mean, it was great.
Have you tried, and I know we're kind of dragging this out, have you tried different varieties of okra? You know, there's some that produce early, which is good for your money. There's some that produce a long time, some that produce a whole lot of pods per stem, and some that you can still eat them when they get hard. There's a lot of different varieties of okra out there.
I planted a couple last year, and one of them, I get it from Ann up there. And one to me works a little better, and this year I'm going to plant all of that type.
Yep. Well,
it was good.
Yeah, well, I did a little work in Ghana in West Africa at the university there, and they had 80 different kinds of okra growing side by side. See which ones produce the most and the earliest and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, you know, you grow what you got. And by the way, when you said you got it from Ann, that's at the cooperative downtown Clarksville, ain't it?
Right, there you go. I'll see y'all next week. I'll be up there.
Okay, well, come Thursday afternoon also. We'll be broadcasting Friday morning, but I'm going to be giving a talk there at the Collect the Seed at that Garden Center on Thursday afternoon. Anyway, good luck on it, Homer. Appreciate you calling, man.
All right. I've got some gifts for y'all. All right, bye.
Okay, now let's slide up to Tupelo. Madeline, thank you for holding. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
So far, so good. Feeling kind of excited because I ain't gotten outside yet. Let the allergies kick in.
Well, I emailed you some pictures. I have a blue perennial that popped up that I don't remember planting, but it's so pretty. I want to get more of it, but I don't know what it is.
When did you send the picture?
This morning.
Okay, I haven't checked my emails yet, but let me check real quick. Let me see if I got something from Madeline. Here we go. Let me see, Madeline. This is going to be a forensic experiment. See if I can see what it is. Let me see. Well, I got a real slow connection here. But anyway, while waiting for these pictures to download, where'd you get it?
Well, that's the thing. I don't remember. Somewhere around Tupelo, it had been one of the flower places, but I'm bad towards the end of planting spring flowers. I like to go get whoever's left. If there's a last lonely plant, and that's the only reason I would have bought only one of these blue plants is I thought it must have been pretty and didn't want to leave it by itself. And, well, he came back and showed out.
Well, I'm having a real, real slow connection. I got it. You sent like five pictures, but it ain't loading right now. So I tell you what, when it unloads, if I don't know it, I want to find out. But we'll find out.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you for your help.
Okay, looking forward to it. I'm just real curious about it. So Java, I don't know what to do here, man. I got a real slow connection, but I got some pictures I'm trying to download because I want to see this, whatever picture this was she sent.
Okay, well, we can, you know, we have two more callers, and hopefully in between that time, it can't be, your connection can't be that slow.
Well, it can be. Anyway, who we got?
Let's go to Walker in McCarley.
Hey, Walker, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm real well, thank you, Felder. Yourself?
So far, so good. Just having a slow download day.
Okay, I'm in the wooded rolling hills above the Delta in Carroll County, McCarley.
Yeah.
I've got
yeah.
a south deck, and the soil wasn't too good here, so I built some raised beds, filled it with some good soil, and I've planted clover in it to up the nitrogen, and around the border of it, I put monkey grass. Now, this is maybe a question, and I've actually already addressed it, to creature comforts. The deer around here, which I love to see, love my monkey grass.
You hear me laughing, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do.
you know the answer to this.
It's starting to come back up, and they're still hanging around. I put some of those bamboo skewers in, thinking, well, you know, they'll poke their nose on it and go away, but that didn't work.
No.
I put some corn out, thinking, you know, I'll draw them to the corn, but apparently they like to have a salad with their starch meal. So the creature comforts folks said you got to put a fence up. Now, I don't like putting a fence up, but someone suggested that an electric fence might work.
It will.
Another way to do it without a fence, and you know about it, I'd love to hear it.
Well, first of all, keep in mind that I work with horticulturists, botanic garden experts, literally coast to coast and overseas, include people who run botanic gardens who would do anything to protect their plants from deer. If there was a good solution, we would know it. Now, I've heard everything. I've heard every possible kind of home remedy, and people swear by it. But if it's something that we knew worked other than a fence, I would know about it. And I know for a fact that we don't know anything other than a fence. However, an electric fence will work if you have two strands. And what you do is you put some peanut butter on the wire every now and then so the deer come up and they smell it and they get zapped in the nose and they learn real quick. You got to
go. Before they go for the monkey grass, and they learn. Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. They learn real quick. But peanut butter, you know, they're curious about it. They come up, and they'll sniff it, and that'll teach them that. But there is no good control for deer other than some kind of physical or electric berry.
Like the way to go. Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got to ask you a question. This clover, have you turned it under yet?
No, I just planted it this year, and it's about 3-4 inches high now. It's getting pretty high, and I'm happy to have the green out there. Turning it over, I was told that would help nitrogenize the soil,
It does, and here's how it works. Clover, when it grows, it starts making these little lumpy thing, nodules on the roots. And that's where the nitrogen's stored. Yours may not have had time to do that yet. Did you plant crimson clover or white clover or what?
It's white clover, and it's just, I've got a lawn of white clover. It hadn't bloomed yet, but it's growing.
This is what I do. I have a little small raised bed, and I break my raised bed up into individual small sections, sort of like little individual gardens side by side down the bed. And I plant crimson clover in about two-thirds of it. But I do the crimson clover, and I plant it in the fall. And this time, right now, it is knee-high. It's covered with those pretty red flowers seeds along the roadside. But if you plant it in the fall, it bulks up. It gets really, really big and bulky by March, and it starts sending nitrogen down those nodules on the roots. It won't do it if you plant it this time of year because it's going to start going kind of dormant soon. So if you plant in the fall, good nodules in the spring. What I do is I just cut mine down with a string trimmer and let it dry a couple of days. And I don't till my garden. I just take my turn it upside down. That way the worms are still intact, and it buries the stuff. It works real well. But think crimson clover in the fall, and then cut it when it starts to bloom, and dig it in. It's a whole lot more organic matter, plus it got plenty of nitrogen.
Well, as I said, this is my first year. I just put the raised beds in at fall of last year. So I was going to let it just grow all summer long and do the planting you're talking about in the fall. But I have roots of trees I want to not disturb. So turning it over, trimming it with the weed whacker is what your recommendation is, and then just sort of hand till it.
Yeah, just dig it. All you got to do is just turn. And once you do this once or twice, it's like chocolate cake. You know, the first couple of times it's hard, but then it just gets real creamy. It's just like digging in a chocolate cake. So don't think the first couple of three times you're going to always be there. It gets better.
Oh, yeah, I know you've got to work it up, maybe put a little sand down as well. But I want to plant
No sand. That's a myth. No sand. Just organic matter. If you'll just add organic. And then when you get through planting, mulch it like with some bark or something. Next time you plant, dig that bark in, plant, add more bark. And once you get this routine going, just digging the mulch in every time you plant is all you need. Forget all that sand stuff.
Sounds good to me.
I've been doing raised beds a long time, and once you get them done the first two or three times, it gets real easy.
Well, I appreciate your expertise. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Appreciate it. So, Java, did I wear everybody out on that one?
No. Like I said, you keep it plain, and I mean you shoot it straight. So that's all you can ask for.
Yep. So we got another caller.
Yeah, we got one more caller. I believe this is Mikey from Mobile.
Hi, Mikey. Good morning.
Hey, Delta. How you doing?
Fine.
Just got one question. I've got a sago palm that burned up during the freeze this winter, and I was wondering if it's too late to cut the dead leaves back.
It's got new growth on it. New growth look good.
It's got some new growth toward the top.
Yeah, that's the only place to put that new growth. Sometimes it makes little new plants at the base of it, but the leaves only come out the top. Yeah, you can cut them off, or you can spray paint them Mardi Gras colors or green or brown or whatever. but let that new growth come out fine. But if you don't do anything, it'll be fine. But if you want to spray paint or cut them off, it does not matter to the plant at all.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Zelda.
Okay. Appreciate it, guy. Ooh, we looked up on that one, Java. I had a quick and easy answer. Well, me and Java and all the other folks at MPB, we're glad that you're listening this morning. If you have questions during the week about gardening, go to my blog. It's not an email. It's like a website. Go online, felderrushing.blog, and click on that and scroll down. It's got a little thing that says email me. I do a lot of that. I'm still waiting for Madeline to send me pictures, but they're not downloading right now, but I'm going to see what I can come up with. Okie dokie, folks. Horticulturist Felder Rushing. Hope you enjoy a little feeling groovy song. Sometimes you just feel that way. And by the way, Java, I did manage to download these pictures that this lady sent me, and I don't have a clue what these plants are. I don't have a clue.
And sometimes it's like that.
Yeah, sometimes it just bees that way, you know what I'm saying? But it's a pretty plant. It's drop-dead gorgeous. This is a real good, clear, rich blue, little flowers. I've got an app on my phone, and I can look it up and find out what it is, but I'm afraid to push buttons right now or else I might drop the program. So I'm just going to hang tight. Anyway, Aunt, she sent me an email. I'll email it back as soon as I find something out. Live and learn, eh?
Now, Felder, we just ran a promo because we're going to do some special coverage of the solar eclipse on Monday. And you are in Texas. And Texas is in the path of totality, and I'm so jealous, man. I'm so jealous.
It's just pure coincidence, but I may be right in the middle of it. I mean, you know, just it's cutting an angle across Texas and just north of Memphis. I'm going to be right in the middle of it by accident.
Yeah, but that's a happy accident, man.
Well, you know, is what it is. The problem is, I had cataract surgery done last year. I'm not sure if I'll be able to see this is without eye protection this year. I had cataracts protect me before.
Well, see, yeah, you have. And now I want to put this out there for everyone. If they do not know and you want to enjoy the solar eclipse on Monday, you have to get the special eclipse glasses. Regular sunglasses will not work, and we do not want you looking at the sun trying to witness this momentous celestial event and have eye damage afterwards.
Whatever. I just squint. I look between my fingers. How about that?
Okay, okay. Do not do the Felder Russians words do not reflect the thoughts of MPB.
Anyway, have we got any phone callers to help us out here?
Unfortunately, well, we have one getting lined up now. I'll let you know when it's ready.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, let me share some stuff that I've been doing this past week. Got my garden ready for the summer. I did a good bit of weeding and mulching, and redoing some flower bed. I'm not pulling up the good stuff. You know, we got all the, you know, the snapdragons and the violas and kales and pansies. I got some really, really good stuff from the wintertime. And summer stuff coming on, like my hardy gladiolus and my amaryllis and, you know, that kind of stuff. But what I'm doing is I'm working up the dirt in between my winter flowers just a little bit, and then I'm tucking in between them things like African blue basil and Cuban oregano and coleus and peppers and I love different kind of basils and tomatoes. I'm tucking them in between the spring stuff. So as that starts to fade out or gets pulled up, I've already got new stuff going on. Instead of just wiping everything clean and starting over from scratch, I'm tucking stuff in between. So that way it's sort of a nice little transition. I also have my contractor friend remove an old, I got a big round deck in the front yard. They have a 6-foot diameter galvanized stock tank. And it's what they use to water horses with. 6-foot diameter galvanized tank. And I had it on this deck that started to rot after a few years. So had them drop it down on the ground, put flagstone around it, reworking it. And that's pretty, and I spent a little bit of time scooping out all the, you know, the oak, the little flower things that come off of oak trees. They look like worms, oaks and pecans. They're called catkins. And they're completely clogged by water guards. So scoop a lot of those out. And one last thing. I lost several plants last year to the drought. A magnolia tree, a clearer shrub. Cut the clearer shrub down to waist high and put a glass tabletop on it. So I got a multi-trunk glass table out there. But anyway, I had a poodle bush, you know, where you cut a plant back into these big balls. It was a type of Yopanhala. Beautiful plant. Dead as a doorknob. And just couldn't stand it more. I was getting ready to cut it down. I said, hang on. And what I did, I spray painted the trunk bright green. Spray painted those basketball-sized balls orange and red. Got me a nice little orange and red Dr. Seuss poodle bush out in my yard. And the neighbor said, what? Don't you care about us? I say, I do care what you think. It just doesn't matter. I'm spray painting stuff. So there, Chava, that's my approach. Spray painting stuff instead of cutting it down, that's therapy.
Oh, the places we will go.
Oh, there's more, but do we have any calls to save us?
Yes, let's go to Walker in McCarley.
Hey, Walker, how are you? Howdy, man.
I'm fine. I'm back because I heard you talking about eclipses, and I've got a perspective on eclipses that is safe by looking down rather than up. You get under a canopy of trees that have leafed out, and the light that filters through usually comes through in just hundreds of spots. But when the eclipse is partial, it works like a pen light camera, and these little spots become the crescents. It's the image of the sun projected onto the floor of the forest or underneath the tree.
And so, like, if you put a piece of paper or something out there, would it project onto that?
Well, individual ones would, but what you got is just, you know, hundreds of them dancing around as the leaves move. I mean, I was out working in the yard in 2017, and, you know, partial eclipse in Memphis, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention except it was getting darker and the birds were going crazy. But all of a sudden, all the spots that were there were crescents and were dancing around with the movement of the leaves. And
yeah, you know, who needs drugs? Who needs drugs when you got stuff like this?
Yeah, absolutely. Nature does it.
That's a good tip. Matter of fact, I'm going to get off as soon as my internet gets better. I think there's a way you can put a piece of paper or something on, and you can look at it, the shadow of it, so looking up, you know, see if you can get it on a piece of paper or something. I don't know, but I do know not to look straight at it.
Oh, yeah, but the trees create a natural pinhole camera. The thing you're talking about is like, you know, putting a piece of paper with a hole in it and then having a piece of paper underneath it, and it works the same way, but you just get one image then. And you can, I guess, focus it. But all of a sudden I was just surrounded by dancing crescents.
I'm getting woozy just thinking about it. This is a flashback to my college days.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Take care. Be well.
Java, we're getting a lot of calls right now, a lot of emails, especially stuff on the Mississippi Gardening Facebook about cicadas. Have you been following this? Have they been talking about on Creature Comfort or anything, the cicada attack this year?
No. Let me know what's going on.
Well, you know, cicadas, some people used to call them locusts. Locusts are great big grasshoppers. But these are things that come out of the ground. They've been in the ground for like this ought to be an answer to a question nobody asked, but everybody's wondering this. The larvae are about the size of your thumb, and they live in the ground for anywhere from 13 to 17 years, feeding on roots. They don't do any real damage. But when they come out, they climb up on stuff, and they split that little their back, and the cicada with wings comes out and leaves that little pale brown dry husk, you know, just stuck on everything. Well, anyway, they come out. They're bigger than your thumb. They got big wings. They don't bite. They can't eat. They don't have mouth parts. They literally come out. They sing. They mate. They lay eggs, and they become bird food. But apparently, we've got two different broods that are coming out at the same time this year. It's going to be like a monster brood. They're going to be jillions of them, and they're big as your thumb and noisy. Well, a lot of people are worried that they're going to eat their plants. These things cannot eat. They can't bite. They can't sting. They're big, but they cannot eat plants. The only damage they do is they'll lay females will make a little slit in a twig of a tree and lay an egg in it. And later in the summer, the end of that little twig will turn brown and fall off with the egg down to the ground. Doesn't hurt the trees. But anyway, cicadas are coming. It's going to be a little freaky. They don't bite. They don't sting. Matter of fact, they're kind of tasty if you want to fry them up. But they're really, really good, important wildlife food. So anyway, a lot of people are getting freaked out because of this great big cicadas. Not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. Enjoy. Get some earplugs because it's going to be noisy.
Now, that is going to be. They do not make that pleasant of a sound.
No. Matter of fact, I got a recording over from last year. We'll play next week.
Well, so. or maybe not.
Yeah. We have plenty of time for phone calls. You want to give us a call? Real quick tip, it's too late to spray stickers. You got stickers in the yard, get you some flip-flops. The sticker plants are starting to die anyway. They got the stickers. You got a problem with stickers this year? Make a note to treat them next January or February when they're small. But it is too late to spray for stickers without harming your grass, too. That's the bottom line. Okie dokie, folks. Horticulture still rushing. If you got time to give us a call, we got time to chat with you about stuff. I'm Horticulture still rushing, and want to remind folks that I've got several events coming up around the state. I'm going to be in Clarksdale next Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Collective Seed. It used to be Miss Dell downtown. It's a old-timey garden club, garden center type thing. I can't describe it. It's just old fashioned, but they got cool plants. I'm going to have my pickup truck down there next Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, yakking with folks, and then we're going to be broadcasting live from there Friday morning. It's a Juke Joint Festival. 3 o'clock that afternoon at the Louisville Library, and then after that, I'm going to be in Monroe, Louisiana, going to be at the Beaver Creek Distillery on April 20th, Natchez April the 21st, and on April the 23rd, I worked with the DeSoto County Garden Club. They got a real big event coming up in Hernando there on April 23rd. Got a lot of time to talk about that stuff. Just want to emphasize that we'll be in Clarksdale next Thursday afternoon at 3 downtown, and then broadcasting live for the Juke Joint Festival a week from right now. That'll be a lot of fun. So what we got, Java?
Now, Felder, did you get those pictures that I sent to your phone of some puny-looking boxwoods?
Let me see. I got it right. I see where you sent me something. It's all fuzzy. I got this really bad slow connection here for some reason. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I see them.
Okay, yeah. I had a friend text me these because they said they they came from last year. They did okay, but this year they're looking how they're looking, real brown, yeah. a few spots of green. Should they toss them or should they try to do something to keep them?
Well, this is, by the way, this is real, real common. It's worse last year than I've ever seen it. But horticulture, this is called browning out. And you see why. They look green, they look great, all of a sudden, boom, they just turn brown. Usually the whole plant, sometimes parts of it. It can happen with boxwoods, with Japanese hollies, with azaleas, with almost anything. This is almost always after months of really severe problems. Too wet, too dry, too hot, back to back. But when they brown out like this, they've already had all their damage, and they just sort of browned out when they just couldn't take it anymore. They just gave it up. There's not much you can do once they brown out. If you got some plants that are browning out and the others near them look okay, they're at the almost about to brown out. So you can prune plants back, see if they put out new growth, and if they don't, you haven't lost anything. But these look like they're pretty far gone. Three things. Ignore it, because brown is a color too. Spray paint them pretty colors, including green if you want. I'm not making this up. Spray paint them green. Nobody, you know, choose a good green. Go with forest green so it looks, you know, don't go with John Deere green. Or else just cut them down. Cut them close to the ground. They may sprout back out. And if they don't, well, you haven't lost anything.
I like that. Brown is a color too.
Yeah. You know, and last year I lost a magnolia tree. Completely browned out, and I see them all over this part of the country from the extreme drought and heat. What I did was I sprayed in mine glossy black, and it was so pretty. I mean, green is okay, brown is okay, but I had a glossy black magnolia tree. It was so pretty. Ended up cutting the branches back, sticking wine bottles on the stems, but that's a whole different story.
All right, Felder, we got a few minutes and we got a bunch of calls to kind of run through. So let's see if we can make it rapid fire. Everybody who's listening, holding on the line, let's see if we can get through all these calls. Let's start with Holiday in Jackson.
Hey, Holiday. What's up, lady?
Hey, Felder. It's that time of year again. The Mississippi Museum of Art is going to have our plant sale next Saturday, the 13th, and they're primarily all natives. So we've got a couple of non-natives, but mostly natives, and we've got a great selection this year.
Okay, let's talk about more next week, because I was at the garden a couple of weeks ago. It looks great. Looks great. Great, great,
perfect.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Check back in next week. Okay, that's
Will
next
do.
Saturday.
Okay, see you. Okay, next Saturday, 13th. Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, now let's go up to Walnut and talk with Fred.
Hey, Fred, what's up this morning?
Oh, well, not much. We found about a dozen really giant grubs in an old pine tree we were cutting down, and they're the biggest grubs I've ever seen. They're about the size of a golf ball, maybe probably 3 inches long and super fat. They have an orange head. I was just wondering what they might be.
Well, it could be, you know, there are a lot of wood-boring beetles. It's not pine beetle. Pine beetle is the size of a grain of rice, but they're going to be some kind of maybe a longhorned beetle. There's a whole bunch of including this. There's one that's called a black, the size of your thumb. It's got a little horn. It looks like a shoehorn on its back. Anyway, it's just I can't tell from the grubs.
Yeah.
But and by the way,
what they'd be, if they'd be dangerous or not.
Well, no. But
like
by the time you see them,
invasive kind of thing.
Yeah. No. Well, no. They'll be native. By the time you see them, they've been there for quite a while. In other words, they're usually what we call secondary. They come in after a tree has already got other problems, then they get in. But it could be one of several different kind of large wood-boring beetles. But there's no control for it, I can tell you that. I'm absolutely sure there's nothing you can do about them.
Okay. I just wondered. Well, the tree was really dead. It was all rotten. But they were doing quite a job in there.
it could be what they call a longhorn beetle. It could be a stag beetle. It could be, you know, there's several big beetles that do that. But I can't tell from the grubs. They all look alike to me.
Well, appreciate the calling, Fred. Let's go to Aaron in Oxford.
Aaron, we're running out of time, man. What's going on?
Well, I'll be real quick. I just feel like you left us with a little bit of a cliffhanger as far as eating the cicadas, and I was curious what your approach to prepping and cooking them might be. I hear you got to pull the heads off or something.
No, you have to do that. You get rid of the wings because they stick to the back of your throat. You deep fry them.
Really, Felder, deep fried cicadas?
Who would make that up? Well, I could make that up that quick. But no, cicadas, locusts, insects, high protein, low cholesterol, just what the doctor ordered.
All right, and our last caller of the day is our good friend Mikey in Mobile. Please don't talk about eating cicadas.
Mikey, we're out of time. What's what's up? We're out
look,
of time.
I'm not going to talk about eating them, but I'm going to say, you know, my questions are, well, my suggestions are.
Quit.
First
we're
of
out
all,
of time.
You can use them for Halloween decorations if you hairspray them.
There
and,
you go.
You can probably use them for mulch and a potting soil mix.
Thank you. We got to go. On that note, Java, it has been crazy today.
Yes, it has.
That's okay. Me and spray paint and the cicadas, we're going to get you through it. We're going to be back same time next place. We're going to be broadcasting live from downtown Clarksdale next Friday. See some of y'all at 3 o'clock at the Collective Seed downtown Clarksdale next Thursday afternoon. Meanwhile, it's a great weekend to get out. There's a lot of pollen. My green truck is gold right now with the pollen. But if you get a chance, take a kid to a garden center, get them a pot full of stuff that they can grow, that they can eat. It's good for their psychology, good for the sociology, good for the soul. It's good for kids to get dirty. And that's what we do best here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. See y'all next week.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand. ¶¶